What an amazing metaphor this tree is, isn't it? And all the work that's gone into it. I think Maxine has done a tremendous amount of work. So thank you, Maxine. And the others on the committee have worked on that as well. But it's a huge example of patience. A tree just takes time to grow, and it takes time to grow. And finally, it develops and becomes something beautiful as well. So what a beautiful example of patience. Now, I don't know about you, but when our kids were small, or some of you when your kids were small, or younger, goes back a ways, there was a musical called The Musical Machine. And one of the characters in this little musical is Herbert the Snail. And Herbert the Snail really speaks to patience. So if you could just cue it up, and we'll take a look and relax and enjoy this little song. A little bit louder, please.
There was a snail called Herbert who was so very slow. He caused a lot of traffic jams wherever he would go. The ants were always getting mad, and the beetles, they would fume. But Herb would always poke along and sing this little tune.
Have patience, don't be in such a hurry. When you get impatient, you only start to worry. Remember that God is patient too. And think of all the times when others have to wait for you.
When Herbert was much younger, he often got in trouble. Forgetting that he was a snail, he did things on the double. He'd crash through every spider web, and with crickets he'd collide. Till one day Herbert's father took his feeling son aside.
Have patience, don't be in such a hurry. When you get impatient, you only start to worry. Remember that God is patient too. And think of all the times when others have to wait for you.
As you can well imagine, there's a moral to this tale. Some of you may find yourself behind a creeping snail. So if you get impatient and you're easily disturbed, think about this little song and take a tip from her. Have patience, don't be in such a hurry. When you get impatient, you only start to worry. Remember that God is patient too. And think of all the times when others have to wait for you.
Sometimes songs like that have profound theological implications, don't they? Many years ago, I heard the story of a mission executive who was in India, and as you know, time is so different in India. And they'd taken him to the station to catch his train, where he was supposed to go to another appointment. And he got into the train station, and he walked in, got his ticket, and so on, and he's waiting for the train to come. He'd been there lots of time, and he's waiting for this train to come, and looked at his watch. Oh, no train coming down to the tracks. And he looked at his watch again. He finally found the station master, and he said, "So when's this train coming?" And the fellow said, "Oh, it will surely come." And so he waited, and he waited some more, and he went and got a cup of tea, and he waited some more, and he drank some tea. And then he went back again. He says, "When is this train going to come?" "Well, you know, it will surely come. It will come. Just wait." So he waited some more, and he waited some more, and he waited some more. Finally, after 3 hours, the train came. And he got on, and he was so wound up and so uptight, right? Patience. But we experience patience here too. At least I am impatient at times. And maybe you experience this. You go to a grocery store, and on your checkout, you just check the line and say, now, which is the shortest line, right? And then it gets even worse because you choose the shortest line, and then, you know, the customer in front of you has extra stuff they have to do, you know, like they have to write a check, or they have to go get some other groceries, and then, oh, I get frustrated. Why did, you know, I chose this line, and now I have to wait even longer than that line, right? And what's the difference in time? Maybe 5 minutes at the most? Or you're driving along and you're coming, you see a stoplight up ahead, and what do? Which line is, you know, less traffic in? And so you choose. I always do. Oh, this one has, you know, like, there's no truck in it, and it's easier, and there's maybe two cars instead of five. And so you line up there and think, what's the difference in time? Up to 5 minutes maybe, right? Or there's other examples of impatience. And some of the parents will know this or maybe remember this, that, you know, sometimes kids just get at you, right? And they push the buttons of patience. And, well, for the 10th time, you know, it's time to clean up your room. Yeah, but I don't want to, right? Impatience, right? There's other examples of impatience. So if you get a text, how much time do you usually wait to answer it? Oh, it's got to be answered right now. It's impatient, right? You got to have that reward. It's an instant reward. And you push the button and check it out, or email. And somebody at the other end said, you know, I emailed you this morning or texted you this morning. Where are you at? Well, I had other things to do, right? We live in a culture of impatience. Now, this one I got several years ago. You know, if you ever get a speeding ticket in the mail, doesn't that just irk you? Like, where was I 2 weeks ago that I got this speeding ticket, right? And so feel that impatience, and that's like, oh, how could it be? Like, where was I? Was I really driving on that street, right? And so on. Well, the list can go on. I'm just kind of highlighting a few. But impatience is a way of life. So listen to this. A recent study found that the average iPhone user touches their phone 2,617 times a day. They're on their phone for 2.5 hours over 76 sessions. Another study on young adults put the number at 5 hours a day and 85 sessions. Whew. And here's a personal testimony. Sometimes I yell at my phone when the screen freezes. Just last week, I felt a heartbeat increase rapidly and my leg shaking when the customer service representative from Amazon put me on hold for a few minutes because my package didn't arrive in 2 days. It turned out that my package got lost somewhere between UPS and my apartment, so I had to wait a whole extra 2 days to receive my order. Waiting 4 days for a delivery seems like an eternity in today's society. As consumers have become accustomed to instant gratification afforded by technology. So on the other side, there is a power in patience. Many years ago, a Stanford University researcher named Walter Mischel tested instant gratification using marshmallows with four-year-olds in the 60s and 70s. And what this researcher did, he had two marshmallows, and I don't know exactly how it all happened, but he got there and he put these marshmallows there and he told these four-year-olds, you know what, you can have one marshmallow right now, but if you wait 15 minutes, you can have two. Ooh, think of a four-year-old, right? That's quite a test. And so, now here's some of the results. Tracking the results of his marshmallow test across the decades, he made some startling discoveries. Children who were persuaded to be patient using various cooling strategies to keep them from grabbing the marshmallow were said to have delay abilities. They had the resources and skills to plan ahead, to conceive the greater or double reward, and to offset the brain's greedy demands for instant gratification. And so this study continues. This group of children exhibited positive traits later in life, including higher self-esteem and self-worth, as well as lower rates of obesity, drug use, divorce, and depression. The ability to delay gratification and demonstrate patience when faced with a choice can impact your diet, your mental health, and your career achievement. Imagine that, the power of patience. So I've kind of put a subtitle to today's sermon, and the subtitle is The Dance of Patience. And you know what? Years ago, dancing was not part of my agenda. When I grew up, dancing was a real sin, and you couldn't, you know, dance. In our school that I went to, we had to get special permission from parents in order to participate in the school dance. And I didn't like to dance anyway, so it didn't bother me. But, I think patience is like a dance, right? You have to learn the steps. You move too fast, and it's hard to keep up. And you move too slow, and you may crash. The momentum loses. So you have to have patience because you know something else is coming. And patience has that quality, that dance to it. Can you wait for something that's coming? Here's an example. Think of a lover who's trying to woo another person. And if impatience gets in there, the relationship would just kind of clash and not go anywhere. But if patience, you start to work to grow, and trust starts to grow, and this relationship really becomes something beautiful. Or think of a parent waiting for the right moment, for a teachable moment, and patiently waiting, and the child picks it up. Many years ago, our daughter was just learning how to drive her bike, and so one day I just took off the training wheels and I put the bike beside the tree and I said, "Oh, when you're ready, you get on and drive." Wouldn't you know it, she picked up the bike and she took off. That was amazing. You know, here we're trying to help her out with these training wheels and all that, and eventually she got on the bike and drove it herself. Photography is that way, at least at times for me. Last summer, we were in Kukanusa and camping there, and the pine trees where we were camping were where the eagles hung out to do their fishing. That was their territory. Other birds would come in the way, and they would go and chase these birds. This is our territory. So one day, Carol and I, we saw this eagle sitting in the tree, and we're waiting and waiting and waiting, and all of a sudden the eagle took off, and I was in the right place at the right time. Got a beautiful picture. And if you want to see what that looks like, come to my office, because it's in my office. An awesome picture, but it has patience. It wait patiently for it to come. Think of a coach. As I think of growing up, I was into sports a lot, and the coaches that had patience and helped me develop as an athlete were amazing people, because they helped it grow and become something for my full potential. And I think that's so important. See how patience is a bit of a dance, right? You have patience, and then there's a goal involved, and the greater good comes out. But one of the ways to look at patience is to look at impatience. And you'll see this across culture, but particularly in the Bible, you see impatience. Back in Genesis, Cain and Abel gave an offering to God, and Abel's offering was better than Cain's. And what happened? Eventually, Cain murdered his brother. Talk about impatience. Like, he just took it upon himself to kill his brother. Or think of Moses and the Ten Commandments, and he was up on the mountain, and the people were waiting and waiting and waiting for him to come down, and people said to Aaron, "Hey, what's going to happen there? For all we know, he's gone." And so they made a golden calf and started worshiping the calf. And think of another instance where Moses, the first time the people cried about water, he hit the rock. The second time they were thirsty and cried about water and complained about water, the Lord said, "Speak to the rock." And what did Moses do? In his impatience, he hit the rock instead of speaking to it. And he couldn't go into the promised land because of that. Well, there's others in the New Testament, just two examples. You remember the story where Jesus was with two friends, Mary and Martha. And Martha was busy getting everything prepared, and Mary was there at the feet of Jesus, listening to Jesus. And Martha says, "Jesus, why don't you tell Mary to get involved? Like, you know, I'm doing all this work." And Jesus said to Martha, "Mary has chosen the best." And he continued to speak with Mary. Or think of Paul in Acts chapter 15, 36 and following. Paul, on the previous missionary journey, Paul had found John Mark, which was a younger man, to go with him. And in that journey, Mark must not have met Paul's expectations, because in this passage of Acts chapter 15, Paul says, "I can't take Mark with me." And so there's Paul and Barnabas had to split ways. And so Paul just didn't have the patience for John Mark. And eventually, Mark became the author of the Gospel of Mark. So it's interesting, right? But so these are some biblical examples of impatience. But let's take a look at the psalm that was read before this morning. And what can we learn from patience from this psalm? And this psalm is so rich with so many things in it, and so I won't be covering everything. But he says, "Within patience, one must find stillness." So this is critical, because it's so important. If you aren't still inside and you aren't still before God, life can get awfully busy and busy and keeps getting busier. And so patience and stillness go together. Patience and delight go together. Think of taking the time to delight in creation. We zoom around, and we realize, oh, those flowers are beautiful. Or we see a bird in the tree and stop to ponder it. Patience allows us to capture that moment more appropriately. But within patience, one must also have trust, as the psalmist said. Psalm 37, verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good." And later the psalmist says, "Trust in him and he will do this." And so there is two sides to trust. One is that in trusting God, our actions are a result of it. And the other side of trusting God for God's actions, because God is interested in our lives as well. And so trust is so important. And then the psalmist ends on a very powerful note. In this passage, he says, "The meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace." So within patience, one must let go of pride and embrace meekness. So here's the dance. Patience dances with stillness. It is a dance that helps us become centered. It is a dance that we are centered in God and learning to listen to the voice of God. And this is not easy, because we have so many distractions. We have to learn how to set aside time to just listen, to be still and listen to God. And because with all the other voices, it's hard to distinguish which is God's voice, which is my voice, which are other voices that are zooming around in our heads. And so stillness allows us to do that. And out of stillness, we can become patient, because we know God deeper. And so that's part of the dance. Another part of the dance is that patience dances with trust. This is a foundational. Without trust, you can't have patience. I remember many years ago, I was in a case conference with a family that had a lot of problems. And unbeknownst to us, as we sat around, there was a social worker, and this family was there. And unbeknownst to us, that this woman had connected the phone to her friend or boyfriend who was in prison. And so as we got talking here, we didn't realize this. And it just created, when we found out, we thought, oh, what kind of trust is this? This is not a healthy kind of trust, that he has to listen to that which we are talking about around this table. And so trust is really a powerful thing when we think of patience and trust. Patience also dances with meekness. When we are meek, we don't have to push people over, nor do we let ourselves be pushed over. So patience thrives in this confidence. So those are some of the nuggets that I found as I was studying this from the Psalms. But let's take a look at James chapter 5, verses 7 to 13, as was read before. One of the important parts that comes through not only in James, but throughout the New Testament, Paul's writings in Hebrews, is be patient because the Lord is coming again. And we don't understand all the struggles they had of being patient, but there were many different options for them at that time. Politically, it was hard for them to be Christians in the land, and so James had to remind them, be patient, because the Lord is returning. Now, he doesn't stop there. He says, be patient like a farmer who waits for the rain so that the fruit will come, or the grain will come. And I don't need to go in details here because most of you understand what that means. Understand what it means to wait for the patience, to wait for the fruit to come. And James, and I'm just talking about a context here now. If you look in James chapter 4, James says, verses 1 to 12, he says, submit yourselves to God and not to the world. And then he says, humble yourself before God. Sounds something like the psalmist. The importance of humility and humbling oneself before God. And then he says, James 4, 13 to 17, live in the moment and do not worry about tomorrow. Another thought that comes out in both chapter 4 and chapter 5, he says, do not slander one another. In doing so, you judge one another. In chapter 5, he says, do not grumble against each other. The Lord will be the judge. And so patience has to do with a number of things here. Living with the intent that the end will come and Christ will return. So he talks about things like humility and submitting yourself to God. He talks about the importance of not worrying about tomorrow. He talks about the how we live together, not to slander or to judge one another. And then he gives another example, a profound example about the prophets, how they endured in patience. And then Job, how Job endured in patience. And I was just thinking, Job is quite a fellow. To have his whole life just kind of taken out from underneath him. His friends said to him, you know what, you've done something wrong, Job, you need to confess. But Job said, no, I haven't done anything wrong. And still he suffered and he suffered. And in that suffering, he was able to endure. And I'm sure as he was suffering, he didn't realize what would happen in the end. But in the end, God revisited him in a positive way. And he was blessed by God. And then James ends this passage of scripture. He says, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So, patience dances with God's timing and the return of Christ. The reward is not all we experience right now, but the reward will come. The best is yet to come. And so patience dances with God in this timing. We don't understand when it's coming, but we understand that this is a relationship that God has promised that this is going to happen. Patience dances with a real Christian community. James talks about that we should not slander each other or judge each other, and because God is the judge. And so patience dances within this community, to help us to have a place to grow and to flourish. Because you can't grow and flourish when there's slander and judgment going on. And we grow and flourish in the patience, recognizing that there's a lot to develop, a lot to grow, a lot to learn. And patience dances with suffering, knowing that Christ is with us in our suffering. And I think this I talked about last week a little bit, but this is so critical. We just don't have the answer to all of suffering, but we know that through suffering, some beautiful things can happen. Some of the sufferings that we have a hard time with are sufferings of grief and the loss of someone or loss of a job. And it's through that if we come through that suffering, sometimes we find a new reality. And that new reality is saying, wow, I don't know how I would be where I am without going through that. We often participate in surgery because we know that after the suffering, something's going to be better. At least we hope it's going to be better. And that is also part of the dance of patience. We wait through suffering. And patience dances with God because God is full of compassion and mercy. And as I was doing some of the research here in other places in the New Testament, it says God is patient. God has compassion on you. God is merciful. So that's how we're to treat others. And so this is a dance also with God. Patience dances with God as God is has compassion for us and mercy. So, how is the dance? Have we danced and learned to dance with patience and all the different elements that bring us into patience? The stillness of God, the trust in God, the being able to dance in a real community, and then understanding that God is compassionate and merciful. So I just invite you to embrace that kind of patience as we go this week. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you've invited us to look at something so profound as patience. And so often we get impatient. Sometimes it's just those little things. Sometimes it's big things that don't go away. And so teach us how to dance with you and with patience. Lead us into your way. Guide us into your truth.